pertaining to the things of God, being spiritual. God wants us to be spiritual. He wants us to be spiritual for what reason would we say that he would like for us to be spiritual? Well, he would like for us to be spiritual because he is a spirit. That's enough reason right there, you know, for us to be spiritual. God is a spirit. And in that God is a spirit, the only way that you can relate to a spirit is to be spiritual. If God was a man, as the Bible said, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. What he has said, he said, shall not be done. And in that God is a spirit, then for us to relate to God, then we have to be spiritual. You take witches, people that are in the world that are spiritual as to the wrong way of being spiritual. That is, you know, to be spiritual, you're just spiritual. It wouldn't matter wrong way, right way, you're just spiritual. But you can give yourself to the wrong source, and you can go the wrong way by being spiritual. You can go after witchcraft, or you can go after the spiritual side of God, which is the right way of life. And at any rate, you should be spiritual. And to be spiritual, what does the Bible say? To be carnally minded is death. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of God, neither indeed can be. So to be carnally minded is death. To be naturally minded is death. When your mind is on your thoughts, then you abide in death. Because you are born naturally minded. Your mind is to eat, to drink, to buy, to sell, to think on one another, to think on passions, to think on the gullible desires of the world, to think on fame and popularity and money and prestige. And the eyes, the Bible speaks of the lust of the eyes, to ever look. The eyes are never filled with seeing. You look at the rivers, you look at the stars, you look at everything, you look at people, you look at yourself. You know, you're always looking at things because that's what you are. And that's what you're born to do. Someone would say, well, we're doing that that comes natural, Brother Pike. Isn't that what we're born into the world to do? Most assuredly you are. You're doing what comes natural. You're born into the world to do exactly that. And that is why that you cannot please God. It is because you are created in this world, born into this world, then you are born for that purpose, to look and to lust, to eat and to drink, to buy and to sell, to have and to hold, to die and forget it all, as somebody says. And really, you don't forget it, not by any means. All right, so then it's very obvious that you're doing what comes naturally. So then in that you're born into this world to be naturally minded and carnally minded, that is why you cannot please God. That is why that you are disgusting to God. That is why there's enmity between you and God. That is why God has disowned you. And that is why God will not have anything to do with you. And that is why God says that you must die before you can ever see God. You must be born again in another mind, in another world, in another spirit. Because he hath rejected you, he hath rejected the world, he hath rejected your image. Your image is an image of iniquity. And God cannot look upon iniquity. And as long as you are as you are, then God cannot even look at you. He has no fellowship with you, for the Bible said the temples of God have no fellowship with the temples of Belial. And you're born into this world as a temple of Belial. And all of your thoughts before God are disgusting and evil. And he tells you to cast down your thoughts, all of your imagination, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And to bring into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. All of your ambitions, all of your exuberance, all of your desire is defiled, contaminated, evil, and wretched. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. My, You know, Paul thought he was a great fellow. He thought he was so great that he was persecuting the church, wasting the church of the living God, killing people, or having them killed, that is, and putting them into prison and blaspheming the worthy name of Jesus because of self-esteem. And then all of a sudden it dawned as to what a wretch he was. And he said, oh, wretched man that I am, with all of my learning, all of my ambitions, blameless as touching the law, having studied at the feet of Gamaliel, being a Pharisee of Pharisees, oh, wretched man that I am. And then he didn't know what to do about it. So finally and eventually he said, well, I'll blame it on the body. You know, we'll just blame it on the woman. We'll blame it on the woman. We're not in the transgression. She's to blame for all of this mess. And as it has been said, every time a little baby cries, the woman is to blame. Every time there's a crash on the highway, the woman is to blame. Every time that there is a war, there's a tornado. Every time there's a sorrow, every time there's a disease, every time there's anything that goes wrong, it's to a fuss or to a fight. Whatever it might be, a drunk or whatever, as to the base side of life, she is to blame. So then, the spiritual inner man, finally he decides that he'll blame it on the woman, because the woman is symbolic of the human body. So he says, I'm not guilty. Paul said, when I would do good, I look and evil is present with me. And the good that I would do, he said, I don't do that. He said, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Oh, wretched man that I am, he said, who shall deliver me from the woman as to the body of this death? For he said, inwardly I desire to do good. I have a will to do good. But he said, how to perform that which is good as to the human part of me, I find not. I can't find out how to do it. He said, for though as in my heart, as within, he said, I have a desire to do good. He said, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. And then he decided that he would blame it all on the woman. Or we will say, as to make you understand better, the creature. So then we'll blame the creature for it. The creature is to blame for all of this. And I am not guilty. For the Bible said the man was not found in the transgression, but the woman. And in that the woman was found in the transgression, therefore the woman shall be subject unto the man, and he shall rule over her. And as in this, that is true. So then, the woman being symbolic of the flesh and the weakness of the flesh, then the interspiritual being, which comes to the knowledge of truth and accepts the knowledge of truth, is therefore free from the curse of sin and death, and it is blamed on the body as to the weakness of the man, in that the body is part of the man, or that is to say, all things emanated from the spirit. And so it is the human body, or the creature, the body of this death. This is the thing that is to blame, because of the tree of knowledge, iniquity as to the wrong kind of thinking is interwoven with the human concept of life. When God made man, breathed the breath of life into him, he became a living soul. He was not contaminated. He was not infiltrated. It was not a body of death. The body was made in the image of God, but that image was lost. Therefore, because it was lost, it must be restored. And as of this time, through the first birth as an Adam, the first man Adam, all die. Because Adam is the creature, having failed from sonship and lost his sonship as to his identity with God, and that image being restored by Christ to us, as I spoke of that this morning, then now we find ourselves as to be looking forward to this change, or that is, in that we are this in the mind of God, that this should be made manifest in our mortal genes, as to be changed from this terrestrial body to the celestial, or from this mortality to immortality. And of course, many of you will never go through with that, and many of you will never see that. thousands and hundreds of thousands of people, perhaps, that's heard our voice, and that by radio and television and by books and whatever. Usually the statistical report is that hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions of people potentially hear our voice. Now, if that's true, then that means that there are many people that will never experience this. Many people will never have this. Many people will never be part of this. Many people will never have this wonderful body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many will never go through this glorious change, because even in church, when the preacher is talking about this, yet not him speaking, but God speaking, your mind is not on what the voice is saying. And John said, I am a voice of one. And so the voice comes, and they shall all be taught of God. But your mind is elusive. Your mind wonders, because you are a wondering star. And your mind always wonders, wonders, wonders. You can sit here in the state of Georgia in this church, and your mind can be in California. Your spirit, Paul said, absent in body, but present in spirit. You're present in, some of you are present in body and absent in spirit. God, being a spirit, he has to go through so many things just to get your attention, has to find your spirit. Like a great man of God said one time, somebody came to him, and their loved one had died, and they said to the man, said, I want to know if my loved one made it into heaven. He said, well, I don't know. And then he said, I'll check and see. So he began to check, and he began to go through the spirit and try to contact the spirit. And finally he contacted the spirit, and he said, yes, that he's all right. He said he made it in. So God, being a spirit, we as ministers have the power to contact the spirit. Now, if we go through this to contact the spirit, and if we contact one that is dead as to that spirit, then that is spiritualism. And if we should worship one that is dead, then that is spiritualism, to worship the dead or to try to communicate with the dead. But they that are Christians, that's passed off from this scene of life, that's gone to sleep, they are not dead. They're only asleep. And therefore, we as Christians communicate with them. We contact those, and we have fellowship with those. And as it was Gabriel, when Gabriel came and stood and spoke to Mary about the coming of Jesus, he said, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. As Michael, if Michael comes, he would say, I am Michael. I stand in the presence of God. And so it is that these wonderful things, see, are taking place. Now, when we are born again, then we are equal to the angels, and we cannot die. We are no longer in the world, but he hath chosen us out of the world as to our innermost spiritual angelic being, as to your angel. And then it passes from this scene of action as to the natural side of life, and it goes into heaven, into the world of spirit, into the spirit world. Now, when it goes into the spirit world, it cannot die anymore. See, because angels cannot die. You have to destroy angels. There's no way angels can die. You're human beings, and you can die, because God created you of the dust, breathed the breath of life into you, and thus you became a living soul. And you are alive, and you are a living soul merely by the breath of life. Because really, you're made out of the dust, just the particles of the dust. And you are a living soul. Therefore, if somebody comes up behind you and they scream real loud, or you get a close call as by an automobile or whatever, it doesn't have to hit you. The breath of life's gone. You may fall out of a tree or fall over on something, you know, and the breath of life is knocked out of you and you're gone. Because that's all you are, is a breath of life. The Bible said, "In man whose breath is in his nostrils." That's all he is. His life is in his nostrils, the breath of life, and that's all he is. And the little old heart is just going, you know, kind of like a clock, tick, 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 tick. Or as I have used the illustration, I tried this. I remember the Lord speaking to me about this, so I tried it. And you fill a can up with fluid. Punch a hole in it. Don't let it get any air. Just punch one hole. Turn it upside down. You know, hold the hole this way. And let the fluids come out of it. And what will happen is it'll go gloogle, gloogle, gloogle. That is to say, the sides will go in and out, in and out, as the fluids come out. So that's all you are. See, God has made it so that there's no air that can get into your blood except through the little capillaries of your lungs, as to your lungs having a red, that is, as in your blood, a red-like compound, or that is, it turns red when it makes contact with oxygen. And this has an affinity for oxygen, and it picks it up as through your lungs. See, while through the hypothalamus and the hypothalamus, you're picking up the cosmic energy. See, and then the air is coming in as to the oxygen. So then that's all you are. And what keeps you going is that heart pumping. They say the little heart is the greatest pump in the world. The average pump that you make, the greatest pump, will last X amount of years and it's gone, but not the little pump of the heart. It'll just keep on keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. So see, as it runs down as to one side here, when the little cells use up the oxygen and it returns as to make its little trip around to pick up more oxygen. See, the Lord will explain all things to us if we ask Him. The Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. Like I said one time, I said, well, there's all kind of diseases and I don't understand diseases. I said, well, what is leukemia? And he said it has to do with the leukocyte as to the leukocyte cell. And then he explained it very careful. And I said, well, that's reasonable. So I said to the Lord, I'm always asking Him questions. And sometimes I ask because of revelation. I want to know what's going on. And I say, like I asked the Lord a question. I said, well, what is this about spinal fluid? Lord, I don't understand it. I said, I know this is in our backbone and it's all through our backbone, in our tear ducts and everywhere else. And I said, what is this? The cerebrospinal fluid. And I remember the Lord so carefully, He said, this is concerning the cerebrus part of the brain, the cerebrus part of the brain. And it goes in, it waters the brain, it waters this, your tear ducts and all through your body and coming down through your backbone, as little tiny holes all there, it stacks up as to the vertebras, and it goes out every part of it to lubricate the entirety of the body. And it takes, as Hedy has been said, it takes maybe tons of a certain kind of stuff just to make up this. David said, we are wonderfully made. We are wonderfully made, and indeed we are, because science can't figure us out. And with all of their medical profession and all of their abilities, they stumble and stagger as a blind man, you know, that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But you and I have an unction from the Holy One that we should know all things. For the Bible said, all that my Father has made known unto me, I've made known unto you. And the Bible teaches that we have the mind of Christ, that Christ had, He knew all things. And so then we have the mind of Christ, and we will allow this mind to be within us. And so then the Bible said, as to you, the Spirit of the Lord will be upon you, because He will make you of a quick understanding. And as it was, as we say so often, as to the Israelites coming out of Egypt, said, and when you go into Canaan, and this shall be that God has given you as to over your enemies, they shall be afraid of you, because you shall be of such a great, mighty understanding. They will fear you because of the wisdom. And the Bible said, as concerning Stephen's, they could not withstand the wisdom by which Stephen spake, for they beheld his face as that of an angel. Right, so wisdom makes a man's face to shine. Moses got so much understanding from God that his face was illuminated. It was a glow. And he had to put a veil over his face because his wisdom was so great and mighty they could not look in his face. And we're growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, is not to make our face shine, but as to this wisdom, it's going to break forth as to the spirit of knowledge, as to the knowledge of God, as to the word of understanding and light, that it will penetrate our very genes in the life of Christ, as to this great, wonderful Christ, that is to say, the Son within His strength, or that is to say, as Christ within you, so illuminated with His glory, this glory is to Christ within you. The hope of glory shall make its way into your outer man, is to penetrate these mortal genes, and in doing that, as this comes forth, you will outshine the brightness of the noonday. Because that's what you are on the inside. One of you unveiled as the Son of God, and the sun would never shine again. It would hang its head in shame, because it would look like a candlelight once you begin to shine. And the Bible said the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And He tells us that we should repent, do our first works over, to watch everything. Be sure to watch and pray, because if you don't, I'll come and move your candlestick. Or that is to say, the soul will lose that breath of life, and that life will be gone, and you'll find yourself dead. That is to say, we who are the virgins, as to the wise virgins, we have all. We're not just believers, but we're filled with the Spirit. And this all, as to life, is within you and I. And at the midnight cry, all these believers, as to religious people who are mere reflectors, shall suddenly realize that when the darkness comes, as to the church light going out, as to the translation, that they have been reflectors and they do not have the all of gladness nor the all of righteousness. For God, even thy God, loving thee because thou hast loved righteousness, has anointed thee with the all of gladness, and that above thy fellows. All right. So then I said all of that just to try to get your minds together, collect your thoughts a little bit here, and see if we could get our thoughts together. Because if I don't do that and I just start preaching, you know, I just holler at you and scream at you. And that's all right in revival, because they need to be hollered and screamed at, because they're like a bunch of wild animals out there. And where's the Bible said? And because it, man did not recognize God as to his wisdom, that it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, that man should be saved. Because even the foolishness of preaching, which is called the foolishness of God, is wiser than the wisdom of men. So when we come together, you know, you are children of God, and not so with you, because you are to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that to the full measure, the full stature, as to the full reward of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. That this wonderful light is to this glory, or this inner potential, as to Christ within your angelic being on the inside, should be made manifest in your mortal genes, as to this glorifying and this change, as to the translation of your spirit into Christ's spirit, as the transformation of your mind is to a graduality through your lifetime to the mind of Christ, and then as to a transfiguration of your body, as to that wonderful immortality of that wonderful transfiguration of the great Christ that is in glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a wonderful thing. When we speak of transology, what a wonderful thing it is as to the beauty of Christ. So I said all that to maybe collect your mind a little bit and thoughts a little bit, and concentrate a little bit, and as we read just a little bit here, maybe we'll say something that might be inspiring to you. St. Luke chapter 20. He says in chapter 20, the 17th verse, and he beheld him and said, what is this then that is written, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Then let's look here. Jesus gives a parabolic thing here. They asked the question, said, why do you speak to these people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? So them that are without, he spoke to them in parables. Then he would remove the veil of the mystery, make known the mystery, and say unto them, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but unto them it is not given. Hear him talking to them. And in the 26th verse it said, and they could not take hold of his words before the people. And they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees. You remember, there's the Pharisees that believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. Then came to him certain of the Sadducees which deny that there is any resurrection, and they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Therefore were seven brethren. Or there were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children, and the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry, and are given in marriage. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry, nor are given in marriage. Well, now I could say right there, I could say, well, folks, you people that married, you messed up. But that isn't what it's saying. It says, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that explains it. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. The Bible says that we should pray always. Have you been praying ever since you came into the service tonight? Did you pray all day today? Did you pray all last night? Have you been praying always? It said that ye should pray always. Somebody would say, oh, but Brother Pike, I just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I told him I wanted to go to heaven, and that settled it. And I had a lot of other things to do now. You know, I can't get around to that. I just have to get around to that praying thing later. But right now, I just got so many things to do. I got a life to live. I got money to make. I got to be a celebrity. I've got a business. My, I am so important. But that wasn't what he said. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many shall try and not be able. And he said, little flock, fear not, little flock. It is thy Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And he said, here, he says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. Pray that God will account you worthy. Seeing that those of the Old Testament as to them that came out of Egypt, as Israel, was not God wasn't pleased with them, and so many of them turned back into the world, as we would say today, in their heart. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. So then he is not saying as to you and I that over here on this side of the hill that we can't marry. It isn't telling us that at all, but it is saying as to the resurrection of the dead and as to those that are in heaven, as in the spirit, that these aren't married, that when your husband dies, that breaks the bonds of matrimony. When your wife dies, that breaks the bonds of matrimony. She's no more your wife and you're no more her husband. Now, I say this a lot of times, and I try to say it in a way so that it's not, I don't like to entrap you with my words, or I don't like to entangle you with my words. I try to explain in a way that you can understand so that what I say will be profitable to you. I've said this before. The Bible speaks of you and your children, that if a believing wife take an unbelieving husband, or vice versa, then the unbelieving is sanctified by the believing, or else your children would be unclean. Then again, we can get tangled up because we can say, well, the little children, how could they be unclean? For God said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. Whereas Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And I say unto you, lest you become as a little child, that is to say, be born again, then you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become as innocent as the little child, as to say, not knowing wrong or right, therefore it's not charged to you. So then he said, the little child, their spirit, as to their angelic innermost being, it doth always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven, which means it has never come to the age of accountability. So the little child is ready to depart the body at any time and find itself in glory. That it has never left glory. It has never left innocency. It has never left the presence of the Father. It's always in the presence of the Father. And it is innocent. Should the little body yield up the spirit, as it was said, Jesus yielded up the ghost. If he should yield up the ghost as to the inner spirit, then it goes back to God. And I say ghost because the King James rendering is ghost. As to the original, you go back to the spirit. But when you say ghost, I'm having reference to a personification. Like, not Christ as to the Holy Spirit, but Christ as to the Holy Ghost. And yet he is the Holy Spirit, but in that he has been personified, now he is a ghost. He is that of a personification as to a certain image and form. Why don't you say Holy Spirit? He could be everywhere, anywhere. God fills the heavens. He's above you. He's in you. He's you know. But God made himself a human body, personified himself, that he might become the object of worship. So the little child's ghost. All right. So I said that again to say this, that your children would be unclean. Is it then that his little spirit would be unclean? Of course not. How could it behold the face of the Father? How could it be with God should it depart the body? Then I say to you again, what then is he saying? He is saying that if one be joined to a harlot as to a man to a woman, or one be joined as to a whoremonger as to a woman to a man, then are they one flesh? Then are they one body? Because the Bible teaches that man and woman is one flesh as to marriage. They are one body. Then are you the same? So then if this man is joined to a woman and she's a bad woman, and he allows for that and he stays with us, so he is a bad man. For two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Adam agreed with Eve, and so it was both of them as to the expulsion. And so it is as a Christian. If one be a believer, then are they the greater source? If the female be a Christian, then they are the greater strength and the greater source, and the other man or the other party as to the man is not as to the greater source and the greater strength, because they are as to that one that is a Christian in heaven. They are equal to the angels, and man is made a little lower than the angels. As to some of you that's in poverty, you're a little lower than the billionaire. Are you that can't lift as much as Paul Anderson or some great strong man in the world, you're just a little less when it comes to the strength. The woman a little less is her spirit, so that she can melt down into the spirit of the man, and the man's spirit can overcome her spirit, and thus that spirit will be one spirit and one flesh. All right. He has this right by virtue of marriage if he follows God. If he does not follow God, he forfeits his right to it. Someone will say, well, bless God, I'm the man, I should rule over my wife. You're not a man, you're a beast. And some of you brute beasts maybe to be made to be burned. And you don't have any right ruling over anybody. You don't have anything. You are not anything. And as to said, this is a woman's world. She takes pretty good advantage of that, and she rules over the man anyway. But I'm saying this, that in Christ Jesus, you rule over the woman. But the only thing is, in Christ Jesus, there is no curse, and there's neither male nor female. So your rule over woman is only in the sense that you're one, and she's in the ruling power with you. So then the only thing that you rule over is the flesh. So that makes you as to a brother and sister in Christ, and that she is the same as you are. So she is not as to that little garbage can, you know, that you think her to be. And she is not that one that you slap and spit on and talk to and put under your feet as to tell her what she is not, and to self-esteem with that old devil that you got and that old pride of life as that male side to talk about who you are. She's not that at all. Neither are you Prince Charming as you think yourself to be, but you are. You've heard that little story of Beauty and the Beast. You are the Beast. But now there is a Prince Charming. You ever heard the other little story about Prince Charming and the one that came to kiss, and as to the kiss of charity then awoke the beautiful princes as to the bride of Christ, and so it was, and they lived happily ever after. So many things we could say in the little old fables, like Pat Boone that got a hold of one of our sermons one time on tape, heard that as to Cinderella. He said, I never knew there's so much gospel in one little fable. But all of our lives, see, God has allowed these little old bitty things to come along to symbolically acquaint our minds, even out in the world, with what he is and what he's trying to do and who we are and what we can be or what we have been or what we should be. All right, let's get on back to our thought here, because if I don't, I'll be like I was this morning. I won't even get to read or finish my reading. So then, when I say that the children then are unclean, what am I saying? I am saying that they are unclean in that as to the body, it is born into the world, and the spirit of foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it forth from them. That is to say, it is as to sin, uncleanness, as to being born into this world, in iniquity did my mother conceive me, and that it comes into this world as a bastard child image, of which it cannot help, neither can you help it. Because you grow from the little child, you cannot help it as to the death of that body. But as to the innermost spirit, God having made an end of sin as to flesh, sin that is conceived within the flesh, the wretchedness, O wretched man that I am, the last generation who will not be born again, sinful, adulterous, wretched generation, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this old bastard child image? As to the first man as in Adam, all die because of the fall. As to the creature, having lost the image of the sonship, in that he was called the son in the garden before the expulsion. So it means that God, as to the woman or the man, whichever one is a Christian, is the greatest source. And they are dwelling in heaven equal to the angels, and therefore that body as one that's being a prostitute, so is the man if he stays with her, as to one man, as to or one mind, as to an agreement. So is it as to Christ's mind? Then if it's the mind of virtue and purity, then is the other member, if the unbelieving be pleased to dwell with the believing, or that is, they don't war with them all the time, and they don't fight against them all the time, wanting to do something corrupt and something filthy, then the unbelieving is sanctified by the believing, because they are one flesh. And what God has joined together, let not man set asunder. And therefore, there's a sanctification of that woman and all of the children born into the world. Then they are clean in the sight of God, which means that by blood, by grace, as to the atonement, God can look down upon them, and those little ones, he can have his angels to watch after them and answer the prayer of the believing one. And that is the uncleanness that God is speaking of. That is, in this life, God can give his angels charge. The Bible said, and God shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and they shall bear thee up in all thy ways, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Now, so he can look after them. But otherwise, the children is unclean in the sight of God, which doesn't mean the little child's spirit, but it does mean that as to in this life, he cannot watch over them. He cannot get to them because he cannot look upon iniquity and the uncleanness as to that they're born into. It then indicates that the little child could get killed or whatever, because many of them do, many of the young ones do. No prayer, nobody watching after them. And so then they lose their life at an early age because God can't get to them. He doesn't want them to die, but he can't get to them. He can't do anything about it. You're a child in California, you're here and can't get to him. All right, so I said all of that to say this. Thus it is that God has so fixed it. But when it comes to the spirit, God is not taken away as to the sin of the spirit, only as to those that are born again. If you are then born again, the spirit comes into your spirit, and then you are sealed in your spirit, and you cannot sin, because sin now is not of the flesh. God killed the flesh at Calvary. It is no more in his sight. Not you, nor me, nor them that are out in the world either. All of them, he died to take away the sins of the world, which means out there in the world, he took away their sins too. And as long as the blood's on the seat of atonement, as long as the grace is coming down, the light from that great, wonderful blessing, then they too are clean in his sight to that extent. All right, so then we see that as to a grace, a dispensational grace, God has so done that to give us time that we in this life, even as a sinner, may hear the gospel so loving us that he gave his son to die for us, to save us while we were yet in our sins, while we were not doing anything. As the prophet said, before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, he called me to be a prophet as Judas. Let another his bishopric take as Esau and Jacob. And so it was said, let the elder serve the younger, for Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. God, by predestination, doing what he wants to do, working all things after the counsel of his own will, looking down from heaven, having his way in the good and the evil, ruling in the affairs of men. Good coming or evil, can it come? And I've not sent it, saith the Lord. So then we understand real thoroughly then what the Lord is saying. We are now at this point in our life, and that point is, the Bible says, blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven and his iniquities is covered, as to the body of iniquity covered by the blood, that is, as the death of Jesus. And as Daniel said, making an end of iniquity and sin. Blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth faith for righteousness. So we see the whole thing is changed as to the law, as to the priesthood, and not as it was as to deeds of natural activity, but as to spiritual conviction, as to believing. All right, let's finish reading this. I just dropped those things in by way of thought to kind of program your mind to where you can understand a little better is what we say. And Jesus answering said unto them, now she's had seven already, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. That is, I'll lie for that. The Bible says if you get a wife, you get a good thing, you know that you've not sinned if you marry. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, neither marry nor are given in marriage. Neither can they die any more, for they are equal unto the angels and are the children of God, being the children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. For it's not a God of the dead, but of the living, for all live unto him. And they were so confounded, they couldn't understand what he was saying. See, because the words of God has to be understood as to spiritual interpretation. And the Bible said the things of God cannot carnally be understood, for the carnal man cannot receive the things of God. They're foolishness to him, but they are spiritually discerned. But the Spirit of the Lord is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, even to the separating of the marrow from the bone, and as to the soul from the spirit, and as to going down into our very deep interbeing as to the thoughts from the intents of the heart, which that means is to revelate, to discern, to understand, as to say, as to the bone from the marrow, as to revelate it, as to what meaning it is, or as to the spirit from the soul, is to separate, as to rend the veil, to fold up, one to lay that away as the living soul and bring in a quickening spirit, or that is to say, as to a discerner of the thoughts, as to my thoughts being the means as to the intents of my heart, because there cometh forth thoughts as to human concept, because my senses relate to the things of this world, and in that it does, then in this I find myself as to thoughts as when I would do good inwardly as to my desire, outwardly I find another law warring against the law of my mind as to the law of liberty on the inside, that is of faith and freedom in Christ Jesus. I find as in my being a law of freedom and liberty, I find in my outer man as to the members of my body a law warring against the law of my mind. It's a law of sin and death as to condemnation because of the law that brings me into this place, because I am guilty in that I cannot perform as to the creature. So then I find that the creature is subject to vanity by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Not because I did it, I don't have anything to do with it, but I am subject as a creature, the outer part of me, I'm subject to the world of vanity through my human senses, because I am sustained by my human senses, or I live by means of my human senses. Or that is we say, as it was in the garden, from the dust thou art, to the dust thou shalt return. And so then man, as through the expulsion, he comes out into the world of dust, and there he is. He's fallen from that lofty state of that wonderful exuberance of God. And in his mind, this is the place he's fallen as to his spirit, and now he's fallen from the Spirit of God as to this wonderful illumination, as to this image. Now he is out in the world as to that which is the stable, as to the creature, or that is to say, as to the beast. And because the beastly side of him, now it is a beastly side, it is a creature, it is the first man Adam, then he who is the Lord of all creatures. He hath fallen to the realm of the creature. And now, instead of being the creature as to an illumination, as to be God over all of the creatures, as to say the animals and the fish and the birds and whatever, now he has fallen down, and now they all are equal. And he's fallen down to an equality of the beast. And Satan, who is the great power of that which hath entered into him, has taken control of this body, and now he is in control of all of the creatures as to the creation of this life, and he is ruling in this and sitting within the body as to what would be the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And the Bible said, with the brightness of the coming of Almighty God, as this wonderful illumination as to the knowledge of the body of Christ, as to the Son of God, that which were seated in the garden to allow for the fall. Now it's coming back, and with the brightness of this understanding or this coming, it will destroy him as to the man of perdition, even Lucifer, sitting within the temple that showeth himself to be God. It's through the eradication by the wonderful wisdom of Almighty God. So the darkness will be expelled. So we realize then that the creature has fallen and that it is in the stable. And this is why that Jesus came. Jesus came to redeem the creature. And so then today, as I said, we're not in problems as to our life in God, because before the world ever was, we were in God. We've always been in God. We are they that are the children of the resurrection. We're counted for as children of resurrection. Not all of you. All of you are not men and women that are sitting here, boys and girls. All of you are not accounted for as the children of the resurrection. All of you will not be in the resurrection. All of you will not be in that world, because you are of this world. And Jesus said, if the love of the world's in you, then you are of this world. And if the love of the world's in you, then the love of the Father isn't there. See, here sits one in school. The potentiality of him is to be a professor. The potentiality of another is to be a physician. The potentiality of another is to be a wrestler. The potentiality of another is to be a murderer. Another a liar. And on and on and on. One a harlot. One a prostitute. See, whatever it might be. See, and the potentiality there is to be rich, or one is to be a person of poverty. So then, whatever your potentiality is, whatever the foreknowledge of God is, whatever God saw you to be, that's what you are. See, Judas the devil from the beginning, he saw as to sell his birthright for a morsel of bread. So then, whatever you are, well, that's what you are. I am what I am by the grace of God. He hath made me to be that. What can I do? The Bible said, if God that hath ordained or preordained as to the foreknowledge of God, elect according to what he foreknew, what if he was willing to take the creature that's ordained unto condemnation and death? Whereas the Bible said, and these men that were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, or that is taking advantage of the days of grace to do their filthy evil things in the creature. See, what if God, willing to subject them to vanity, should make them to suffer throughout eternity? What could you do about it? Can the thing that's made say to him that made it, why hast thou made me thus? Doth not the potter have power over the clay to make whatever he wants to? Didn't God take the prophet down to the potter's house? And I've seen this myself. Going down to the potter's house, and he watched the potter as to take the clay, and as to one vessel it was marred, and he set it aside and wouldn't have it. And then he made another, and it was so beautiful. I saw this done in a potter's house, and I saw this man as to the whole history of his family was one that made pottery. And I've seen him take this little piece of clay, and I've seen him set it down on a little spindle, take his finger and with a touch and water and make it the most beautiful, graceful thing, that it looked like it had perfectly in every way been molded by a mold. And it was so beautiful. But prior to this, I saw him take a little piece of clay that was not pliable, that was not tender, that was not flexible. He set it up there and he tried to make a little thing out of it, and he marred the vessel because it did not have the softness and the tenderness to yield to the touch of the master's finger or hand. See, and he just got disgusted. After a while, he kept trying to find. He set it aside, he set this another. And the next one was just like that, just so beautiful. And he set it up there. See, what if God is willing to take that one that's fitted unto life and unto the blessings of God as to his foreknowledge, and he set this one out there and just wanted to bless it throughout eternity? Could you say anything about it? Oh, somebody said, God would never do that. But God has already done that in his foreknowledge. And he will say, depart from me, you that workers of iniquity. And they will depart into everlasting damnation and loss, because they're fitted unto destruction. And the Bible said, when Paul preached, they that were ordained unto eternal life, they believed, and the rest of them did not believe. See, and so then I say unto you, it's sad to say, but as Jesus said, Not all of you are clean. He said, and you're clean by the words that I've spoken unto you. But he said, not all of you are clean. So then, we are clean through the words of God, through the things of God, and it is as our spirit. If my spirit is given to Christ's spirit, then am I clean. But if I come to church and I'm just a human body as a creature, I'm sitting there and my mind is on some woman, or as it would be, a woman's mind is on some man, or that is a girlfriend and a boyfriend, or they're looking for this or that, or they're looking for, you know, their wife and their husband, or their mind is on money and their business, and their mind is on the exuberance of life, or what they're going to do, you know, or how much they're going to make. Or they come to church with this kind of thing. Instead of entering into his gates with thanksgiving, coming into his gates with praise, it is a positive proof that if they come into this place that way, they are out of order. They do not know how to behave themselves in the church, the house of the living God, which is the ground and pillar of the truth. See, but if they dismiss themselves as to the things of the world, then they come into this with praise and honor. God being a spirit, he inhabits the praise of his people. And then they come in a state and mind of praise, a condition of love, a condition of worship, to give the more earnest heed to the things they've heard, lest at any time they should let them slip, to take heed how that they hear them as they incorporate them in their life, to make sure they don't misconstrue. Or they come into the house of God with the praise to be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word, and the word is coming forth to be taught of God. Then they come in and they're not giving their ugly opinions as to their thoughts and their discrepancies and their criticism, and all of this vanity of mind is not as to the carnal mind, which is enmity with God, as to sit on the seat of the scornful and stand in the way of sinners. But their delight is in the laws of the Lord. In the laws of God do they meditate day and night, coming together, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. All right, so then we see that as to the creature will be redeemed, it will be changed, because God wants to bring it back to the originality as to the image that has been lost. See, he wants to bring it back to that, and the creature will be redeemed. For the Bible says that we're not to grieve the Holy Spirit as to the inward seal of Christ, your spirit being translated into his, that we're not to grieve that, because when we do that, that displeases God. That we should abstain from the desire and exuberance and ambition of a creature as to the lust of the flesh, and to make no provisions to fulfill the lust and the desires thereof. So then, as to your spirit, if it is Christ's spirit, as to the child that's accounted for as the resurrection, his spirit will literally draw your spirit into a oneness with him, and you will draw his spirit into your spirit to draw nigh to him. He draws nigh to you, and then you'll become interwoven as a translation, in that the, I say so often, the safeguard is within the garment, penetrating as to the garment, sealing the garment, no stains. Therefore, he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Is without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. As to the inner man, and the outer man is also without spot, without wrinkle, or blemish, because God killed him at Calvary, buried him as the Jews going out of his presence to represent the creature, that they are without understanding, they are without knowledge, for the dead within the grave know not anything. Therefore, he has preserved them as to them that sleep, that when Christ returns, as to the greatness of the mystery, them that sleep, them he will bring with him at his coming. And so then we are hid with Christ as to our life in God, whom the heavens have received until the time of the restoring of all things, or the change of the creature. So then, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the creature will be changed at the sounding of the last trump. For as Revelation 10:7, and the last trump shall sound, and the mysteries of God shall be finished, as God has promised. So then we see the creature will be changed, because God has paid the price for the creature. For the creature has already been redeemed by the foreknowledge of God. But we wait for this change to be made manifest, to wit, the redemption of the creature as to the body. For the Bible said, and the creature itself shall be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God. That is, your outer man and all of your inheritance that you ruled over as to the creature, all of his natural things as the beasts and whatever, they're going to be changed into that glorious liberty. And your creature, as to the head of them, is going to be changed into that glorious liberty to be restored to that Shekinah, not as an illumination, but an interwoven, born-again experience to where it can never happen to you again as it happened to Adam, as to the lost. You cannot be enticed out from under it because you will be interwoven with it. And it will be made manifest in your body that you will be one with that great, wonderful illumination. The transfiguring of this wonderful thing. Christ in the stable, going to the diplomacy of standing yonder in glory, and so ye are in Christ Jesus. Now, if we can believe it and make it manifest, then are we this. If we do not believe it, we cannot make it manifest because we're not that, because our hunger and our thirst as to the innermost being is the hunger and thirst for the world or the things of the world. Therefore, it can never be made manifest within us because we don't have it. But if we do have it, then day by day we will subdue the outer creature. Though the outer man perish, yet the inner man is renewed day by day, and gradually we will bring him into this wonderful knowledge of God through the transformation of mind from glory to glory, understanding to understanding, and then this wisdom will penetrate us to a light, and that the word is spirit and life, and we'll be swallowed up as to mortality, swallowed up by immortality as to the terrestrial, to the celestial. It will be swallowed up. Now, the natural by the spiritual. So there's a natural body, there's a spiritual body. The natural body is present as the creature because the spiritual body as to the image has been lost as to that that was in the garden and that we were made in the image of the spiritual. So then now it has been restored through Christ Jesus, and we have this heavenly treasure on the inside, and now we must make it manifest in our outer genes by self-denial, by swearing to our own hurt, turning away from the things of the world, not allowing that evil to be on the inside of us, nor the lust to be on the inside of us, but rather the desire for God and the thoughts of heavenly things, and placing our affection on things in heaven. See, and letting our conversation be in heaven. Not to walk as to the lust of the eyes, which is by sight, to make provisions to fulfill the desire and ambition as to the lust of the flesh, that is the warring against the spirit, but rather killing the outer man, denying the outer man, mortifying the deeds of the body. They that belong to Christ, they have crucified the outer man with the flesh and the lust thereof. So then we are working to make manifest as to this inner greatness, that it might be made manifest into our outer genes. And that is, the darkness will be eradicated by the coming forth of the light. Or the light will come forth and eradicate the darkness. All right, so then we see that there is a change that's taking place, and God has paid the price as to the redemption of the body, and the creature itself shall be changed into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, which means your inter-spiritual liberties as to the inner man, as to the law of liberty. See, as to from this body, your spirit went back to God who gave it. The body's now dead, but the body of Jesus reckoned yourselves to be dead indeed to the things of the world, by the body of the Lord Jesus, come out from the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, saith the Lord. So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provisions for the things of this world. See, the world, the lust of the flesh, and all that is in the world is the desire of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and the world and all that's in the world shall pass away. But he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever, because it is the Word made flesh, had been born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said, though everything is to the world will wax old, thy son shall endure forever, and ye shall fold him up as a garment and lay them away, but of thy kingdom and the increase of thy kingdom, there shall be no end, and as to thy sceptre, a sceptre of righteousness, even as to rule with the rod of iron. He that overcometh, I will let him rule with the rod of iron, and he will break the nations into pieces, as a man breaketh pottery with a piece of iron. For ye are the sons of the living God, and the government shall be upon your shoulder, even as it is said, and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So, in this, we see that the body, which is the creature, it shall be changed. For the Bible said the whole world is in travail, and the creature is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where's the Bible said, you know not what ye shall pray for, but that inward thing, as to God searching the reins of the heart, knowing what is the desire of the heart, maketh intercession with God with groans and moans that cannot be uttered. So then he knows what we need, and he's making intercession that it be made manifest in our body so that we can say,
that all things work together for our good as to them that love the Lord and they that are called according to his purpose.
See, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's so great and it's so mighty. There is nothing. Heaven can't do it. Earth can't do it. Things present can't do it. Things to come can't do it. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. His love is so great that he gave himself. His love is so great that he gave his son, the very desire of his heart. And beyond that, there is nothing that he could love more that he would allow that ye should be separated from this great, wonderful Christ. So we know then that the creature will be changed. And all of the creatures is groaning. The waves are roaring. There is turmoil in the atmosphere because of Satan. And there is everything that is at unrest. And even the creatures as to the animals whine is the song that we wrote. See, which means that the end of the world is here. Everything is close by. They're all waiting for the sons of God. Because of the manifestation of the sons of God is coming into the millennium or the change, then the Bible said, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain. Throughout the millennium, Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and nothing shall harm in all of my holy mountain. And the house of the Lord shall be established, and the nations shall flow unto it. And they shall say of all nations, and they shall say, we have forgotten our God. Let us go up to the house of God that he may teach us of his ways. Well, the Bible said all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. So we, as in that time, will go up to the house of God to be taught of his ways. And the great, wonderful house of God shall be established, whose house ye are as members in particular, as to lively stones, building up that house of the holy priesthood, even a habitation for God, as to that great, wonderful city, as to the new Jerusalem that shall come down, descending out of heaven to sit up. Down upon the earth, her light being most precious, shall fill all the earth as to the house of God. And the kings of the nations shall go in and out, even in the celestial. They shall go in and out, take their crowns, throw them down at the feet of the great King of Kings. The 24 elders as to the king will throw their crowns down at his feet, in that they are kings, and they that rule without the gates shall bring the tidings of the people. Coming into the great city, acknowledging him as King of Kings, knowing that he hath made us kings and priests under our God, that we should rule and reign forever, as to 1/10 cities or 1/50 cities, or as to whatever you give yourself to, as to that that you can accomplish in this life, as the 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Okay, then what are we saying? And so in heaven they do not marry. They do not give in marriage. In heaven they are as the angels. So then where are we? The Bible said we're not in the flesh. Now, I say, Brother Taylor, you're not in the flesh. Then Brother Taylor would say, well, where in the name of reasoning am I at? If we're not in the flesh, then where are we at? It's very evident that many millions are in the flesh, and they prove that by doing the things of the flesh. But we're not in the flesh because we do not the things of the flesh. We deny the flesh. We crucify the flesh. We mortify the deeds of the flesh. We're not interested in businesses. We're not interested in wealth. Somebody says, well, you built a building, Brother Pike. You bought some land, Brother Pike. You done this, Brother Pike. I know I did, but it's no time to build buildings and plant vineyards, as to every man running to his own house, leaving the house of the Lord, as to let it lay waste. Though you make much, bring it home. I'll blow upon it to come to little because you let my house lay waste. I'm not interested in building a home, and I'm not interested in building a house. I'm not interested in buying lands and properties and all these kind of things, as to own these things, as to planes and ships, boats, whatever it might be. I'm doing this for Christ to win a soul. I give it to you that you may, through a utilization of these potentials, do something to win a soul as tools for world evangelism. That you may have a little home for your family, that you may come together, and that you've got rid of your home, you've got rid of your thing. And the Bible said, as in the early church, they sold all that they had. No one said anything was theirs. They came and laid it down at the apostles' feet. And the Bible said, and they distributed according to the widows and the orphans and the needing and the suffering and whatever. No man said all that he had was his, but they all were together.
as having all things common, and as in one mind, from house to house, breaking bread in singleness of heart, singing praises unto God, and working for the Lord, winning souls. See, and great wonderful things was done in their midst because they come into one mind and one accord, and God healed them. As the Israelites came out, 3 million people, not one feeble person among their tribes, their feet did not swell. Why? Because they were in all together. They were all together, were all in one mind, one accord, and that is, we're going from Egypt to Canaan. We're following the Lord through our leader Moses. So we know that the creature is on the verge of being changed. So tonight, we conclude these things as to say what? That shouldn't we deny ourselves? Isn't our works as to our believing, as to self-denial, to make manifest within the mortal genes, as to our works, and to make Christ manifest in these genes, in that the heavenly vessel is Christ's body, and we have this heavenly treasure within the earthen vessel, as to the creature that has lost his image and must be changed back into his image, that is, as to the image of God in his originality. It wasn't so from the beginning. As to all of these things, as I said to you the other night, if a foot is missing, a hand is missing, even one hair of your head is missing, if your sight is missing, whatever it might be as to that is missing, if it is your treasure and that God has given you all things that pertain unto life, naturally, physically, spiritually, health, happiness, finance, whatever, if it is missing, then something is wrong, because he said, I would above all things that you prosper, be in health. See, he wants you to have all the natural, carnal things of life, but not with the curse. He wants you to seek the kingdom and run all these things through the filter, that it might be done away with as to the iniquity, the infiltration. Take the mind of control out, which is the mind of Satan. Bring the mind of Christ in to keep your mind heavenly, though your body is from the dust. Keep your mind heavenly, and after a while, the body will be changed from this dimension as to the dust into that celestial thing. Have no more problem with that. Right now, just don't mess with it in your mind, see? Just go on by faith. All right. So in this, we see our gold. We see that God has called us unto glory, wanting us to come unto glory and unto virtue, wanting us to be as to the virgin with the oil, as to the virtue of life, as to the virtues of life. So whatever you are, that's what you are. I can't make you nothing else. Someone said, well, isn't that why you're here preaching, to perfect us? Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith. I'm here to bring you the mind of Christ, that you might know as to them that are children of the resurrection, accounted for the resurrection. Then they will perceive and they will understand. But the wicked shall not understand, because living in trespasses and sin, they are dead while they live. Living in pleasure, they are dead while they live. They will not understand, because the veil, even the veil of death, is to the intellectual reasoning of that veil that was over Moses' face. That veil of human reasoning as to their own way of life, as to incorporate everything they hear into their own lifestyle to make it work in their behalf, as the Satan wanting the prosperity and the health and the blessings and making everything to come into captivity, as to the bondage of that bond child, as to that body that is in bondage to the beggarly elements of the world, as to these human senses that relates to that source of life, even the serpent that's on his belly, and that all of his belly, all of his labors for his mouth and his belly, his belly craves him of you. He is as up to the generation of our day, and that is to the generation of serpents that goes all the way back to the garden. All right, that tree has been cut down, folks. It's gone. My, you don't know how much it's gone. Let's say a few things as to say how much. But I'm just saying this to you. I'm here just to reveal your potentiality. I'm here to perfect your faith. I'm here to reveal to you the mind of Christ as to what you are in the mind of Christ, as what you've always been in the foreknowledge of God, brought to light at Calvary, the rent veil, to preach it to you, to tell you all about this. And so then in this, that means that because of that, you have opportunity.
Soon the grace will be gone and your light will be gone because you're just a reflector now unless you're born again. And as to give everybody a chance to bring them out of the world that is the elect, soon it'll all be over. We sing that song, soon this life will all be over. So soon it will all be over. Now you that are the children of God, you that are counted for as the resurrection of the dead, you that are the children of light, you that are the predestinated, and when Paul preached, and them that were before of old ordained unto life received. The rest did not. They were as of them ordained unto condemnation. So then, you that are children of light and children of life, I say these things to you, that you may know as to your heavenly Father and the wonderful blessings of God, that it's not long now, and everything's going to be all right as we sing the song. And you should take hold and you should listen as to the voice of the shepherd, because my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. As to David of old, the stranger was Satan, and a stranger came by, the prophet said, and so Satan is a stranger. And he's a stranger to you, he's a stranger to me. And as it was when Jesus spoke, so it is today. You that have ears to hear, hear. You that have eyes to see as to what the Father does, then do that. And do always the things that please the Heavenly Father, and everything will be all right. Let's stand together. Appreciate you coming out to be with us tonight. A lot of things that we could say, a lot of things I'd like to say, a lot of things that should be said. But as to these things, as to who you are and what you are, you know, the only way that you can know is to make your calling and election sure. Make your effort. Make your effort. If you could sit under these messages, sit under these things, and go back to your desire of the world, your ambition of the world, your thing in the world, it is a positive proof that you are the serpent seed. And it is a positive proof that you are not the seed of Christ. And it is a positive proof that you are that intellectual head knowledge being heady in the last days, which means filled with knowledge. In the last days they shall be heady and high-minded, which means educational in their thinking, scientific in their reason. And it is my job to use my little slingshot as to this little sling of faith and this little stone that was hewed out of the mountain. And to, like the eagle, when he picks up the serpent, what he does, he flies and he takes that serpent and he just constantly beats his head on a rock and a stone until he kills him. And it's my job to hit you where it hurts the most, and that is to let this little stone sink deep into your old hoary head of intellect, kill the serpent, to destroy your way of thinking and to confuse you and confound you. The Bible said when Paul went into the city, the whole city was filled with confusion. Not as to them that love God, because that is light. Confusion is of the devil. So Paul didn't cause the confusion as to being one as to confuse, because the Bible said that we are the children of God and they shall be called the peacemakers, for all of the ways of God are paths of God are peace, and he that keepeth his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. But the confusion was in that the serpent opposed and people opposed and them that were filled with darkness opposed as to the confusion, and it came from them because they would not submit. And they said, and this man Paul has come here, he's turned the world upside down. And as I say, I thought on that, well, that was good, because it was wrong side up, so it needed to be turned right side up, and to do that you had to turn it upside down. All right, let's sing a little bit together, can we? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. At the cross for you.
For at the cross, at the cross, where the burst of the light and the burning of my heart. That by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Can you sing that one? For at the cross, faith burst of the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room. Although many have come, yearn for one room at the cross for you. Come in. Come in to my heart, just come in to my heart, Lord Jesus, just come in today and come in to stay.
Give me a key, Frank. Jesus gave her water, was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went away. She went away singing, and she came back ringing others to the water that wasn't. Jesus gave her water, was not from the well. Jesus gave some water, she went forth to tell. Went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from. Can you sing that with me? Oh, Jesus gave her some water, it wasn't from man's well. Jesus gave her some water, come here, Miss Sing Sing. Went away a stinging, and she came back a bringing others to that water.
Jesus gave her water, and was not
Sing this little chorus. Is that the light of my home I see? I feel a breeze from the crystal sea. Is the light of heaven's bow? That delights our heart, a welcome sight to me. Seems I can
sweet.
Of time, God sent forth His Son, made under the law and made of a woman, to redeem them that were under the law. And how beautiful it is to know today that He hath redeemed us. I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine, and all to Him I now resign, for I have been redeemed. And it is so wonderful to know that we have been redeemed and that we are the redeemed, and we're praising God and singing the wonderful songs of redemption. The redemption as to the blood of the Lamb, and John said, and everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth. And all was saying, glory and majesty and praise be to the wonderful Lamb of God that has redeemed us and saved us from death and saved us from the burning lake of fire and saved us from our sins, having saved our loved ones and having given us all things that pertain unto life. It is little wonder the writer wrote the song, I will praise him, I will praise him, I will praise the Lamb who for sinners was slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his name is above every name, but at the name of Jesus, everything in heaven and everything in the earth and everything under the earth shall bow at the name of Jesus. For as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow before me, and every tongue shall confess. So tonight, while we're standing here, we're going to sing a little chorus together. I'm going to ask somebody to come and dismiss us. But let's sing another little chorus together, can we? Sing that again, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a like me. But now I'm found. I was blind, but I can see. Sing that with me. For it was grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace my fears relieved. Oh, how precious gift that grace appeared. It was the hour. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. Somebody say hallelujah. Hold fast to your crown. Let no one take your crown. Let's lift our hands, close our eyes tonight as we worship the Lord and as we love the Lord. Can you do that? Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Brother Richard to come, Brother Richard the Jew. I'm going to ask him to come and dismiss us tonight, if he will. And while Richard is coming, something is taking place that's really spectacular and phenomenal tonight that Maybe some of you see and know, and maybe you do not. But anyway, let's pray that God will grant unto us the spirit of revelation, that our eyes being enlightened, we may comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great thing. Because I tell you again, the translation of the church is as to comprehending from glory to glory, and when the ultimatum as to the revealing has been as to the finishing of the mysteries, as from the innermost man into your being, then shall the end be here. There's an end to the things of God. And with that, the chains of the body, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality. And to you that do not understand, you do not realize how close it is, how nigh it is, even at the door. As you see the day approaching, exalt each other the more. You that are spiritual, you can see the day approaching. And it's nigh right now, even at the door. What then will you do with Jesus? What then will you do with Jesus? Pilate asked. While our heads are bowed and our hands are lifted up, Brother Richard's coming to pray with us. And as he comes to pray, search your hearts, examine yourselves, see if ye be in the faith, if your faith is really founded as to a conviction upon the very Word of God and not upon the sins, as to the shifting sands of theology and ideology that's in the world today.